Yo, what's up? It's your man's Joaquin. Make sure y'all like, comment, share, and subscribe to the podcast, because we got some dope interviews. So now let's get into the podcast. They listening to me. Yo, what's up? It's your man's Joaquin, and you're tuned in to another episode of Heat Level Podcast. What's up, world? Well, y'all already know, man. Hey, I know y'all see the fresh cut, man. Yeah, I cut my dreads, everybody, but we still back. Y'all know I'm doing big things now. So look, I got a guest that's coming straight from Louisville, Kentucky. She go by the name of Rachel Greenwell, and she is an author, and she's going to tell you a little bit more about herself and about a book. So I want to introduce y'all to Miss Greenwell. And by the way, you're actually the first Caucasian woman that I ever had on my podcast. Get it done.
Well, I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to finally be here.
It's been like I think I hit you up like 2 weeks, and then it was like, oh, I forgot. I was like, you know what? It don't matter. I'm one of them type of guys that people are normal. We forget, we make, and hey, as long as we can get it done, that's all that matters, no doubt. So, hey, tell people where you're from. And how you, where you grew up, and what made you get into writing?
So, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. Actually, just south of Louisville, Kentucky, Shepherdsville, Kentucky, which is like a tiny little country hole-in-the-wall town. Ain't a lot going on here. Graduated from high school there, and basically, I just ended up with like a lot of struggle in my story, you know, got into drugs, experienced mental health issues, experienced a lot of trauma. And what I found was that like the root of all of that was really just self-worth. Like I didn't love myself very much. And that's what led me down the path that I went down with drugs and allowing myself to get into some situations where I ended up traumatized and in bad relationships and things like that. But I was always a really creative person. I've always been a writer. I've always written lyrics. I like to sing. I like to write. I was like always journaling and writing poetry and things like that. It was always like an outlet for me to be able to express myself.
Okay.
But I never knew that I was going to be like a published author. Like that was just something that like I did for me, really, you know? After 12 years of just being in like this hell, like madness, I had a spiritual awakening that prompted me to enter recovery. And so when I talk about a spiritual awakening, that basically just means that like it was like a sudden knowing of information that there's really no logical reason for me to know all this stuff. Like, and it came accompanied by some visions where I could see clearly the paths that I had to choose from in my life. Like, God let me know, like, look what you're doing, where you're going.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, if you don't mind, what kind of addiction you have? What kind of drugs was your addiction that you were, that actually had a hold to you?
So it began with just normal partying, you know, smoking weed, drinking, all that kind of stuff. And then it kind of, you know, the people I was around were doing pills. And I did have a mental illness where I had a diagnosis of anxiety. And so that was a big factor where I was like self-medicating, using things to help reduce my anxiety because I didn't know how to handle it on my own. And I ended up prescribed to Xanax when I turned 18 years old. And that's kind of when everything went really downhill and I began to abuse my medication. And then I lost my insurance at that point in time. Like if you were in school still, like you were under your parents' insurance. And so I still had insurance. And then I experienced a really awful trauma and I just kind of quit school and never went back because I fell into such a deep depression. And then I lost my insurance and then I couldn't get my medications like prescribed, like the Xanax and the antidepressants prescribed from the provider anymore. And then, so the people I was around were like, well, I don't have that, but like, I have this, you know what I mean? And it was like these pain pills and things like that. And it just kind of roller coastered out into eventually moving into heroin.
All right. Well, I'll tell you this. Okay. Now, just let you know, I've did drugs too. You know, I used to be doing drugs. So now, a little different for me is I don't think I got to the point where it was so bad. You know, I was more of a functional drug user, as you can call it. But, you know, we used to abuse like Xanaxes and ecstasy pills and stuff like that. And, you know, I used to sell drugs too. So I sold pills. I sold, you know, crack. I did all that thing. And yeah. I used to live a one of those lives. Now, the difference between me and you a little bit is my life was more violent. You know what I mean? Ever since I was young, you know, I can't count how many mental institutions I've been to, but I've been going to them since I was like 5, 6 years old. So, yeah. You know, I've been to Vanderbilt, over in Nashville, cause where I live at, I reside at, but yeah, it was a couple other ones, Cumberland Hall, Jackson Academy, Middle Tennessee Mental Health Institution. Like, I've been to so many. I'm diagnosed with like 6 different disabilities, as they call it. I'm talking about diagnosed with emotional disturb, antisocial personality, schizophrenia, bipolar, extreme violent bipolar disorder. I done been on any medicine you could think about, from Depakote to Zoloft to Ritalin to Prozac to lithium. And look, and this is me, okay? I've been in the street, you know, I've been shot, you know, I've been stabbed. I did 7 years in prison, like I was telling you. I actually did 6 years as a juvenile, so I never got to go to high school. I actually got my education inside a juvenile facility and got out on my 19th birthday. Now look, with all that said, right? Remember one thing, and maybe you can agree with me or you cannot. Just let me know what you think. Mm-hmm. A lot of your trauma, a lot of your addiction, a lot of that has to be countered, right? So as you've been an author, do you counter, is that your outlet? Okay, is that your outlet to your trauma, your addiction? And say, instead of doing pills is this pen, you know? This is the pen. And I'm going to write down, my trauma is the writing, right? And this is what I'm going to use as an outlet. So I will not let my addiction that I used to have be that addiction again, and let this writing be my addiction. And I will not let the trauma that I experienced in my life hold me back from moving forward. So what I'm going to do is use this as my outlet, and I'm gonna make sure this is what is gonna be my addiction. Is that kind of situation that?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head for real. And it's like, you know, I think so much. When I talk about addiction, I say it's a couple of things. We're either filling a void that we've had inside of us, something that we felt like was empty. We need to put something in there, or we have something that shouldn't be there, right? Like a trauma, some kind of something that's happened to us that we feel like shouldn't be there, that we feel like we need to cover up. So we're doing a couple things, right? And then so when we get into this recovery mindset, we learn to, whatever's on there, express it to get it off us, right? So exactly what you're talking about, expressing it through those creative outlets and using those as a method to heal. And so, you know, it's energy. So if there's something on me and in, on my spirit that I need to express, I can do that one of a million different ways. I can talk to you about it, like we're sharing with each other about the things that's happened to us. Like, that's a lean of expressing, getting it off. Writing, it's a way to get it off my chest. Painting, it's a way to get it off my chest. Singing, it's a way to get it off of me. You know, there's all these different ways that I can express that energy and get it out. And then we have to also look at, what are the voids, right? And then so some of the voids in me were, I felt like I had this huge potential and all these things that like I wanted to do with my life, these dreams, these things that I could do that wasn't getting filled. Like, I wasn't getting fulfilled by the things that I knew that I should be doing. So also part of that writing for me and like being an author is me going after my dreams and seeing if I can live up to this potential that I feel like I have inside of me.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You have any kids?
Yeah, I got one.
Yeah, one. Oh, you? Well, hey. And if you won't, how old are you?
I'm 32. My son is 3.
Oh, cool. Well, you know, I'm 36 and I got teenagers. All right. So I got 11 month old too, who's about to be 1, you know, August 30th. So that's my youngest out of 6. Now, my youngest was 12, but now My youngest is 11 months.
You know some things about parenting that I haven't even gone through yet.
And then I got my stepdaughter. She's 14, and my stepson, he's 5. So you know, out of all of them, but I tell you like this. You say you wanted to, you know, chasing your dreams, and I heard you say that you sang. I heard you say singing. Now I'm saying, do you sing or do you sing?
I sang.
Because I don't know if you know, I don't know if you even looked at a lot of my stuff that I'm a hip hop artist also.
Are you really?
Oh yeah, I got over 26,000 views on video, 16,000. I actually just released it, a new song. We'll do that afterwards and stuff. So, you know, and then I own a record label. That's what this booth is for. He Level Entertainment is the record label. Then He Level Films is the filming. And then I got He Level Podcast.
You got your hands in everything.
Oh, yeah. And I'm always looking for new artists, man, that actually that's going to really put in the work, you know. But I ain't going to invest my money in somebody that really ain't got what it takes to put in the work, you know what I mean? Because I want you to spread your message. So look, now, with that being said, I tell you this right here. All the outlets that you use, writing, singing, painting, you know, that is very good for you to stay focused. Now, you said you're chasing your dream. You want to live your dream, right? Now, what is your dream exactly? Okay, I know you're an author, so if I come talk to an actor and I say, what is your dream? They say, I want to be a Denzel, or I want to be, you know, in the game. Or if they're a director, they say, I want to be a Steven Spielberg, or I want to be a Quentin Tarantino, or I want to be a Robert Rodriguez, whatever. They want to be that. So, like me personally, I'm a writer before I'm anything, okay? So remember something, like, yes, I got a book that's right up under my thing that I wrote too, but I'm a writer for anything, okay? I got so many films that I've wrote already and stuff. So I'm a writer before anything. So I write R&B songs, by the way, and we'll talk about that because I actually got a song. And see if you will like it. It's already written and everything and everything. But anyways, so I write R&B songs. I write hip hop. I write film. I write books. I write poetry. And that is the basis of everything I do. I love writing, right? And being an entrepreneur. So, you know, I have 5 different businesses, business license, okay? So you say, I got 5 different business, but I'm looking for one person to be over this one. You president. I'm the CEO. Let me just manage this. And I have other people that's doing that. That's what I'm in the midst of doing now.
Yeah.
Right. So when it comes to that, you see my whole realm of what I'm going for. I'm trying to change the world in my art. Okay. So what is your end game? It's your dream. What is your end game? What do you want to be noticed for? Because I know you don't want to be stuck at a 9-to-5 for the rest of your life. I know you don't want to be in that type of situation. Now, I don't got a 9-to-5 anymore. Okay. I'm an independent contractor. I do things, I do jobs for people and boom. Like, for example, I did a job Wednesday, made $1,800. I'm not working no more till Tuesday. You feel me? All right, so that is how you want to do it, right? And we can talk about that too. If you do have a 9-to-5, I can show you and give you ways where you can chase what you're doing and don't have to be stuck to a 9-to-5. And we can actually talk about that out of this podcast, and I'll tell you why.
I'm super duper open.
All right, so tell me your end game. So what's your end game?
So I think my overall mission, what I feel like that is what I want to do, this, I feel like I have this core mission, and then I can express that mission through all the various things, right?
Okay.
So our mission is to teach the world its worth. So that has been my thing. Self-worth has been my thing, and that is what I want to do. Inspire people to love themselves so fucking much. Sorry, I don't know if you cuss on your podcast.
Oh yeah, actually my podcast ain't got no. You straight. My podcast actually is no filter. Be honest with you.
Okay, good.
My shit is like past like the first 5 minutes and shit. Hey man, just fucking let that shit go. That's what the fuck I do. I always gotta see. You're blurred up.
I'm blurry. Why am I blurry all of a sudden?
Nah, thank you. Yeah, you good. Okay, go.
I had to trick it. Okay.
Yeah. We good.
I want to inspire people to love themselves so fucking much that they know without a shadow of a doubt that they deserve all of the things that they want in their life, all of those dreams, all of those desires on their heart that God put in them, like that they can go get that. No problem. Right. Okay. We all live. And it's like, you know, I think that world peace, you know, not to sound like Miss America, but like I think world peace is like a really achievable thing, but we can't just go straight to that. We have to start with world love. And I think we all love each other a whole lot better if we love ourselves first and we know how to create an internal world where we're really happy and inside of our own minds and we can lay our heads down in peace every night. And then we go out and we're better human beings for it. You know, when I'm self-hating, I'm doing addiction. I'm doing, you know, running around stealing from people to do all this crazy, you know, like I'm doing crazy stuff when I'm in self-hatred. And it just ripples out and creates more hate and more hate and more hate. But when I'm accepting of myself, when I love myself fully, then I look at other people through that same lens. You know, I don't see anybody else as unequal. I don't see anybody else as less than. I don't see anybody else. You know, I'm not judging other people for their mental illness or their past problems or their whatever. You know, I give that same thing back once I know how to give it to me. So I feel like the space that we could create in our world by everybody understanding how to love themselves appropriately and have this like unshakable self-worth, as I call it, where we're all living in our dreams and our passions and doing the things that we're meant to do in the world, we will all be happier and we'll create a better world for our children and our children's children and everything else, right, to live in. So that's like the ultimate goal, like hippie me over here. You know, like,
No, because look, the thing is this, if you're chasing a dream and dreams without goals are just dreams, right? The famous Denzel Washington said that. But I'm just saying, when you got a dream, you set your goals, you chase for your goals, you achieve your dream. First and foremost, you have to put the groundwork in. So if you want to change the world, the only thing you leave is a legacy, right? So if you want to leave this legacy and you want to change the world while you're here, because just remember, the world changes when someone new comes in it. Period. But what kind of footprint are you going to leave behind, okay, for other people to follow? That's what you're doing. Think about it. When you're using your addiction, just say you would have OD'd and lost your life. And I know a couple of girls and men that have lost their life over overdose. Now, and that happened. So now your legacy just stopped. So what you're going to be remembered by? You know, well, Rachel was, you know, she was a good girl, but, you know, she let drugs, you know, get a hold to her. And then that's it. That's the end of what you left on this earth. Right. So when you're going for your goals and you're chasing your dreams, don't just chase them, capture them, grab them. You understand what I'm saying? Because this is the thing. I done heard people that said, I've been chasing my dream for 50 years, 30 years. I've been chasing my dream. I'm just going to put it on a 20 years. I've been chasing my dream for 20 years. And they're still in the same spot from when they said they've been chasing their dream. So are they chasing their dreams, or is their dreams just a good idea that they want to be, but they have not made that transition to change and get there? Okay. Let me say something to you. If you tell me, the first time the podcast didn't go through, I always give people a second chance because we all make mistakes. But if the second time would have came through and then it wouldn't have happened, it would have been no more that I would even talk to, even dealt, or even mesh, or even caring anything that you had going on. And this is the reason why. Are you ready? Or is your grind and ambition ready to capture what you really want? I move at a fast pace, okay? And this is one thing about me. Getting out homeless in 2018 and building what I've built, you know how many people that anything you see, I did it. When I give you all my links, I did my website. I do my editing. I do my pages. I do my banners. I got a guy to do the poster for me. But guess who took the pictures for the poster? Now, this is the thing. I work by myself a lot and I do a lot, but I know in order to get to the bigger plateau, you will have to have people that you can bring on your team. This is the problem though. If you try to bring people on your team that don't understand this is a team effort, they're not going to understand the vision that you're doing. So you coming on now, I'm like, okay, cool. She had a misstep. It was a bad thing. But where is she? Do you really got the ambition? I don't know if you got the ambition, right? It's my first time talking to you. I can actually look through your past. Okay, she got a book out. Guess what? I know a lot of people that are published authors and they're still in the same place. So does that mean that you're doing something because you a published author? No, you know, it really doesn't mean that you're actually really going for what you want, right? So this is the thing. What you got to prove to yourself, if you prove it to yourself that you are worth it and you can chase that dream and capture it, you don't have to prove it to nobody else. You know why? Because when you prove it to yourself, it's going to automatically prove it to everybody else. You know, and I'm going to tell you, I cut my dreads, right? Somebody said, why did you cut your dreads? And they're like, hey, a lot of people ask, why you cut your dreads? Why you cut your dreads? Why you cut your dreads? Because I wanted to. You don't understand what I'm doing it for. You don't get what's going on. And if you read more deeper to the talks I have and the music I do and what I do, and if you even listen to my podcast, you understand why I did cut my dreads. You feel what I mean? And even though I'm growing them back, I'm doing this for a reason, right? So a lot of people don't understand your vision. A lot of people would not get your vision. But if you can find somebody that will work with you and will love what you're doing and can see your vision, they are going to work as hard and maybe even harder than you to try to get your vision to the world, to the forefront, so you can live your dream, so you can actually change the lives of people and all that. So right now, I can say, Rachel, I'm glad that you're an author. I want to check out your book, right? You know, I'm going to listen. I don't know if you got on audio or whatever, but we'll get to that too. But I want to know what you about, right? Are you ready for that next plateau, right? Are you ready to push farther than where you at? Are you ready to come out of your comfort zone? Okay. Are you ready to get out of that comfort zone where you at a 9 to 5 and you're like, okay, I know I'm getting paid $20 an hour. I don't want to let this go because I know if I let this go and I go independent, if I don't work, I don't eat. A lot of people do not want to do that. A lot of people don't want to be in a position where if they don't work, they don't eat. They'd rather go and sit under somebody else, make they look $20, $15, and really a lot of these cats only making $13, $14 an hour. And they like, okay, cool. At least I know every hour I'm getting $14. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So your ambition have to be strong. Your comfort zone, you got to get up out of it. And I don't know where you at in your life, but I want to ask you a question and give it to me real. Do you think you're not doing enough?
No, I don't think I'm not doing enough. I always believe that I'm enough and where I'm at today is enough. And I think I don't even like this concept of having goals. I think goals are things that like people put on the back burner and they're allowed to sit there until they're 50. Like you were saying, some people, you know, these dreams or these goals that never, ever happen. I believe in visions that I'm manifesting, and I wait for those moments of inspired action and listen to my divine guidance and go after when I'm called to make the next move. I go.
Okay. Now, when you say visualizing and manifesting, you got to understand what goals are. Okay. Now, what you said is goal. That's what a goal is, a vision and manifest. So don't get it mixed up with people that have dreams. Okay. So, you know, it's going to sound like I'm kind of throwing some knowledge away because that's what I do. you know, especially being a black man in America, they think a lot of us ain't got no knowledge. Let's be real. All right, check this out. What you just said is gold. That is a goal because you're visualizing the manifest. That's a goal if you define what a goal is, okay? Now, when you said these people that got goals they sit on the back burner, them are dreams that they got sitting on the back burner. Them are not goals. Them are just dreams. That's why I say what I said at the beginning. That's what I said, dreams without goals are just dreams. So those people you say they put their goals on the back burner, no, they don't. They put their dreams on the back burner. They never go after their goals. A goal is what you're going after. If you are, if you're a basketball player, right? Where, what is your goal when you're playing ball? It's to score the point, right? So you're shooting for the goal. No matter how many times you miss, anytime you get that ball and you see the chance to take the shot, you're trying to hit that. That's their goal. What is their goal in football, right? Point, end zone. What is your goal when you're playing soccer? The goal. You understand what I mean? So you have that goal. So what you said, visualizing, manifesting, that's the goal. Now, if you say, oh, I just got a vision. Okay, you got a vision. What's the goal? The goal is to manifest that vision. You understand what I'm saying? So don't take the concept of goal out because you got to have that. Okay. Now, when you say learn long term and then you got short term, you know your end game. Your end game is your long term goal. You know that. Focus on your short term. All right. Focus on the short steps to get to the long term. Because I always remember, man, leaving a legacy is actually a marathon that never ends. Okay. Until you pass away. And that's when your chapter ends. Your chapter don't end until you're not on this earth no more. Then after you're not on this earth, your chapter is open back up. I is resurrected through everything you have done on this earth, all right? So always remember, keep that. And you got to keep that drive at all times. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people can't even fathom how I got the time to do what I do and still go to Miami Beach for 10 days vacation with my family, all right? And we on our way to LA for another 7-8 days vacation. And people are like, man, how are you doing this and then able to do this and then able to pay your bills and able to shoot a film? A lot of people cannot fathom how one man can do all this with just 24 hours in a day and the same 7 days in a week and 365 days in a year. But everybody got the same 24 hours. Everybody got the same 24 hours. How you wake up in the morning, what you do, consider how your day is going to go. If you wake up with a negative attitude and you like, oh, negative, your whole day is just going to be negative. Okay, if you wake up, you say, okay, today I'm gonna be productive. I'm writing on a film right now. And you wanna know something funny? Before I talked to you, when I got here, guess what I did? I pulled up, I wrote some lines in my film. Like, okay, cool, we about to get here. Boom, 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 I'm writing a horror film right now, by the way. And I, boom, 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 bam. All right, now I gotta do her. So guess what? I'm gonna do a podcast with you. I got two more podcasts a day. So when I get off with you, it's like, boom, back to the film. Okay. Boom. All right, cool. This film will be done in about 4 days. You understand what I'm saying? So you got to have that driving. You got to wake up in the morning ready. Sleep is a cousin to death. So I tell everybody this, if you sleeping 6 to 8 hours, I don't give a damn what these scientists be saying. If you sleeping 6 to 8 hours a day, you are playing if you're not where you want to be in life. Okay. Look, you're playing. You're playing. I'm just being honest with you. You know, you need to get your butt up. I don't care who you is, and you invest your time. You know, time. I don't care about money. I don't care about all that stuff, all that will come. But the most important thing that you can use, that you can spend but can never get back is your time. And your time is important, and you don't know when your day ends. So you have to live like every day is your last, but you still have to plan for a future. I hate when people say, I don't plan because I don't know. I might not live today. What? That don't even make sense. You know what people, you know, I hate when people say that, you know, because this is the true fact of something. The stuff that you see now, somebody visualized 20 years ago. Okay. And that's what you have to do. You have to look like, okay, in 5 years, this is what I'm trying to be. This is what I'm trying to do. This is where I'm trying to be at. But you have to make those steps.
And I'm a bit firm believer that, you know, you have to do both. You have to accept your current state in order to transcend it, and then make all those plans for go ahead and start putting your eye on the prize, right? The next step where you want to be. And I'm one of those, like, has to have like a 12 burner stove, like all the pots sizzling at once. I'm always planting a seed of the next thing. I'm going to go ahead and plant this seed so that in 10 years, when I'm ready to do that, all this will be ready for me then, you know? And I love what you said about time. I have a whole chapter, I think, in my book about time and how it's the most valuable resource.
Yeah. That's your investment.
Time. Yeah. You can't waste that.
No. And we do it all the time by sleeping. That's one time that a lot of people waste time watching the idiot box. Right. And yes.
There's always something. I don't like wasting my time.
No. And guess what? I ain't gonna lie. I love some time wasters. That's how people gonna watch that film.
You gotta have some fun.
You gotta have some fun too. I'm just talking a little shit. You know, that's what I do, talking a little shit. But so let me ask you a question. Okay, so what's the name of your book?
How to Wear a Crown: A Practical Guide to Knowing Your Worth.
Yes. Okay, How to Wear a Crown. Now, is this for everybody or is it just for the ladies?
It is not just for the ladies. I've had tons of men read it, but I tend to get the men steer away from it because they think that it's only for women. And then I kind of have to go, well, it definitely looks girly because it's me on the cover and I'm wearing a crown and it's marketed in this way. It's feminine because I'm a female, right? But the guidebook part, and what makes my book different than I think like other like author self-love stuff is that most people tell you about loving yourself, but like nobody ever breaks it down into the steps that help you get there. And I'm big on actionable steps and having a goal and having a plan, right? Like tell me what to do so that I can get from A to B. And it's an actual guidebook that step-by-step tells you all of the actions that I did to learn how to love myself over the years in recovery, to how to get from that place where I hated myself all the way to a place where I felt like I deserved the world and felt capable of going after my dreams. Right. And it's all the things in between.
So what is your, so your demographic? Okay. Now, like when you say men steer away from it, you know, I'm gonna tell you a little bit, you know, I did go to business school. It's crazy that I was in the streets and I was going to business schools too. While I was in the streets. So, right, I get my education. I put it to you like this. You know, demographic wise. So when they see that, they're going to think, oh, it's a girl book. Because it's just the way that is marketed as. Okay. Not saying that men go pick it up, but the way that is marketed, the demographic is going to be women. So you might have way more women read your book than men, you know?
Definitely 85-90% women.
and there's nothing wrong with that because, you know, a lot of women should know their worth, right? So, you know, it's nothing wrong with that.
Cool is that what I see is I get all these messages that come back where the women that buy it go, I just wanted to let you know that yesterday my husband was going through a hard time. And I told him that he needed to realize that he was enough and that he needed to stop shaming himself and explain to him some of these concepts from your book. And he broke down crying to me and had like this huge life altering experience. And so what I know is that by healing the women, it still ripples out to affect the men, right? Because we're in marriages and we have sons. And so the women are teaching their sons a better way and they're sharing with their husbands and they're changing. And so it's really amazing. amazing that, you know, the energy that you put into writing the book, it still gets to where it needs to be. And I think that, like, it's like soulmate clients, you know, like soulmate people that you can to serve certain people when you do your good work in the world, and it will get there. If you're intended to help that person, it will get to them in some way, shape, or form. It will get to them.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's why I always tell people, man, look, do what you want to do. And if people like it, cool. If they don't, who gives a fuck? Mm-hmm. All right. So do what you want to do. Inspire how you want to inspire everybody else. Kiss your motherfucking ass. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I live my life. And I really don't give a damn what people think about it. I don't really give a fuck. I'm very thick skinned. You know, I'm in karate also, but it's just saying I'm thick skinned. I don't give a fuck what people think about it. I never have. I live. I don't give a damn. It just doesn't matter to me. I don't.
Yeah, I think you like my book because you say a lot of stuff where I'm like, I got a chapter on that. I got a whole section.
Yeah. You know, and then look,
do what you want to do when you want to do it. Do what you want.
Because most people are very, what's that word I'm looking for? Most people are very, let's see. I ain't not self-centered. I can't think of the word. Well, fuck it. A lot of people
influence.
Yeah. A lot of people. Yeah. Like if a lot of people cares what people think, but a lot of people like, oh, I got to do this because if I don't, this person, look, man, that person don't give a fuck anyway. So if you want to try to impress that person, fuck that. Impress your motherfucking self. And if another person like it, that's good.
And the thing, and as a recovered people pleaser, okay. Cause I was a terrible people pleaser back in the day until I learned myself. I know for a fact you can run around all day long working your ass off to try to make everybody around you happy and still fall short at the end of the day and still have every one of those people that you were trying so hard to make happy be unhappy with you for some reason or fucking other.
Like, and that's true. Like,
so honestly, so why exert yourself like that?
Yeah, I wouldn't personally. You know,
can't.
Why? You know, it makes no sense to even do that at all.
And then at the end of the day, you're laying down at the in your bed at night going feeling like you betrayed yourself because you went against what you knew in your heart and soul was right for you to try to make the other people happy and then still fell short. So now you're upset with yourself that you betrayed yourself. You're upset with yourself that you didn't measure up to these people, and you're just always upset with yourself if you're going after that as your goal, you know.
And which a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm. Some people live their entire lives like that.
Yeah. Like when I say entire life. And you like, man, you 50 years old, you still living like that motherfucker. Right. Like, nigga, damn, you ain't learned. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm like, my goal is to wake the people up. Wake the people up. Hello, wake up.
And
to live a different way.
Hey, let me ask you guys a little bit about just a little tiny bit. Do you have any music out or?
No, that's my next venture, I think. I'm gonna courses. It was when I was in high school, that was like my primary thing. I was writing, I was singing with people, you know, writing music.
Did you say you take online courses on how to be a singer?
No, I create online courses, life coaching. So I'm a life and spiritual coach.
Okay.
And so I have an online school called I Am Raquel Academy. My business is called I Am Raquel. And that's basically a name that just... It means like embodying your higher self. It was Raquel was like my high school nickname that meant that it was like my rock star name.
Yeah, so no doubt.
Like, you know how you can kind of have like an essence or like, you know, an alter ego that you can kind of embody, right? And
I got like 15.
I'm gonna be the guy, right? I'm going to be that person right now. Yeah. So I can suit up and show up for this moment. So like, that was what Raquel was. That was how the anxious little girl Rachel was able to get on the stage with her guitar and actually sing the song to the room full of people and not have a panic attack.
So let me ask you a question, another question about something, and then we'll get to our last two segments of the podcast. Maybe use my train of thought. Okay, you said, oh man.
We were talking about like embodying the higher self.
Yeah. Okay. When it comes to the, all right. So Are you able to make a living off what you do?
So right now,
are you still kind of
still working? My plan is creating enough passive income to replace my income, and then okay. shift over.
And that is for a podcast that I'm actually going to be having. And I'm going to be inviting people to come to the podcast, and I will be teaching them on how I'm able to do what I do and all of the independent businesses where I work on my own time, and how mm-hmm. to build business credit and not using your personal credit. So I'm going to do another one like that and try to get some people in and tell them.
I don't have any business credit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll do a little talking. All right. Now, I'm going to give you first, before we get to the two segments of the show, can you tell everybody where they can find your book and all your social media platforms?
So if you want the book, it is on Amazon for $9.99. You can just look up How to Wear a Crown, A Practical Guide to Knowing Your Worth. It also has a journal, a daily journal that goes with it. If you want to buy that, I believe it's $4.44. And then you can Google I Am Rockel. So it's IAMROCKL. You can go to my website, www.iamrockel.com, and there'll be links to get to anything that I do, the I Am Rockel Academy. You can get to my book on Amazon.
Can you spell that for people so they know the spelling?
Yeah. So it's IAMROCK and then L.
I Am Rockel. Y'all hear that? Yeah. I'm like Rockel, like
rocker with an
no yeah. doubt yeah Gene yeah. Simmons Kiss type stuff yeah. you know
let's not quite as rock star as I was back in high school, but you know you still gotta show up as your rock star self sometimes.
Oh, no doubt you gotta show up as your rock star self. So look, we got these two segments of my show. One is called Under the Bus, and that's what we're going to do right now. Basically, I'm going to tell you two people, and you got to pick which one you are throwing under the bus. So since you are an author,
okay,
I'm going to give you two authors, and you tell me which one you are going to throw under the bus. So number one, we have James Patterson. Nice okay. author right there, don't we? Or we got Stephen King. So we got James Patterson and Stephen King. So Miss Rachel Greenwell, which one of these artists you're picking and which one are you throwing up under the bus?
I gotta pick Stephen King. I read Stephen King all through high school. So sorry, James Patterson.
Oh man. So guess what? Stephen King, you have been selected by Miss Rachel Greenwell and James Patterson. I love your books, man. I even love The Rainmaker, right? But hey, I'm sorry, brother, but you have been thrown under the bus by Miss Rachel Greenwell. So if you see this podcast, she did it. All right, so okay, so we get to our last segment of this show, man, and the name of it's called Brutally Honest. Basically, I ask you a question, and you got to tell me the truth. If you don't tell me the truth, I will roast your ass, because that's what I do. So if I believe you are lying, I will roast your ass. I will talk about your forehead. I will talk about what you're wearing, and I will talk about your fake-ass background, okay? Let's do it. So the question is, have you ever flinched at your mom and dad before?
No, never.
Why didn't you?
Mostly because my parents are so amazing and sweet and patient that there was no.
Oh man, that's a way of growing up. Parents patient and stuff, man, that's gotta be the white life.
It was mine. But, it was mine.
If I flinched at my, you know, rest in peace to my mom, she's been gone 26 years. But, you know, I was a troubled child. And, you know, man, I don't know how many times I probably woke up, didn't know where I was at, you know, after flinching. You know, whatever, you know what I'm saying? So, hey, man, you talk about whoopings. Shit. What type of whoopings I got, man? I think I used to get whooped when I was 4, wake up when I was 7. I just don't even know how many times of the, you know, I was
also like the straight A, you know, honor roll, all of that.
Oh, you was a good kid.
A reason to be mad at me until I was like in high school.
Oh, wait, that's where
out started, of the right? Whooping stage, you know what I
mean? Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, one more shoe. You know, I got twins, whatever, you know, but the 16 by the 17. But I'm just saying, like, when you a teenager, who whooping your ass? I'm gonna knock your ass out. Hey, look, yes, this is the thing. You put your hands on me when you 16, 17 years old. You want to be treated like a dog. Because you know what? If you do something out there in them streets, the judge and the court don't treat you like a dog. You know what I mean? So if you put your hands on
people
me,
in jail going to treat you like a dog.
I'm going to treat you like you knew what the hell you was doing. And I'm going to hit you with this combo. You know, I do karate, so it's going to be a, you know, combo, you know, and I'm going to it's going to lay out. All right. But anyways, so... It was really nice having you on the podcast, man. I hope everybody that's watching this, man, they make sure they like, comment, and share. And y'all check Ms. Rachel Greenwell out. So y'all already know, man. Let me give you my drop. So here it is, baby. So if y'all want to listen to my music, y'all already know, man. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your music, man. You go Joaquin, that's Y-Q-E-E-M. That's W-Y-Q. Eric, Mimi, Mama, Moo Moo. If you want to watch some videos, y'all already know. On YouTube, it's Joaquin TV. That's W-Y-Q-E-E-M TV. That's W-Y-Q. Eric, Mimi, Mama, Moo Moo TV. And y'all already know, you're on Heat Level Podcast, man. This is on every platform you can go on. We there as Heat Level Podcast. If you don't know how to spell Heat Level Podcast, go Google that shit, because I ain't gonna tell you how to spell Heat Level Podcast if you're that dumb. But anyways, hey, and it's on YouTube, so you type in Heat Level Podcast, you'll be able to see the visuals. If you want to listen to the audio, go to heatlevelpodcast.com, or you can go listen to it on Apple Podcasts, which a lot of my listeners do. They love Apple Podcasts. I got an Android, but thank you, Apple Podcasts, anyway. So I want to get all that out there. So y'all make sure y'all go check it out. Then my film, which is right behind me. It's called Damn Justin Again. It will be on all your platforms September the 30th. And I have my 4 actors, which I have to put them on here. We have Jennifer Kinzer. We have Angelo Tate. We have Sadetrica Andrea Simpkins. And of course, Joaquin Abdullah Talib, which is me. And we have my man, Mike Cunez, who's actually the second unit director. So, hey, man, y'all make sure y'all check that out, man. And I really appreciate it. And I got the new album that's out right now. It's called Only Time. You can get it wherever. It's 8 tracks. And I'm telling you, go listen to this album. It's the shit. You know, I always got to put it hip hop, and I always will. Miss Rachel Greenwell, do you have anything else you have to say before we get up out of this podcast?
Yeah. Thank you so much for letting me be here. I was honored to be a guest, especially the first Caucasian guest.
No, first ever. Caucasian woman.
Female. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, you know, it's hard to get white ladies on my podcast, man, because they like, oh, should I really go on the brother podcast? Yeah. Is the brother going to, you know, hey,
I'm not scared. Yeah. Here I am.
No doubt. You from Louisville, Kentucky, though. I'm saying so many black folks right down there. You can't be, you know, around that way anyways. You know, you go Louisville. Right, you there, you know.
We don't do that here. But
I'm glad you're doing your thug thistle. You know what I mean? As we call it. And I'm glad that you working hard and you doing everything you got to do. And you inspiring the world, and there's nothing wrong with that. So everybody, if you listen to my podcast, you know what I always say. I'm about this beat.
Every time they hear this beat, every time they hear this beat, every time they in the spot, every time I'm on that street, they listening to me. Every time they in.